Can you hear me? Shabbat shalom, everyone. Whew. I tell you, for like one of the first times, I'm not really nervous up here. It feels nice, you know. I'm not shaking in my boots, you know. I really feel the Spirit of God is here today. And I was so blessed to see all the kids, not the kids, I shouldn't say kids, except for Christian over there. I was so proud of him. Christian is my godson over here. And to see him do that was an absolute blessing for me. So I need Christina back there on the slides, wherever she is. Because my slides are towards the back. There you go. Well, the name of my message today is called As In the Days of Noah. Interesting, because Jennifer, that was the last scripture that Jennifer shared when she was sharing those three scriptures, but we didn't have any coordination. It just was coincidence, but not coincidence to those who know how the Lord works, right? Anyway, I'm going to start off in prayer here. So if we bow our heads. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me, that the words that come out of my mouth would only be your words, Lord, if that there's anything on this message, Lord, that is not supposed to be here, that you would take it out. And I pray that you would make us very receptive and have open minds and open hearts, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now we're going to do some really hard digging today. We're going to go way into the past, and we're going to talk about things that people don't normally talk about in churches and congregations, okay? So I have a joke for you. See, I could obviously take after my father over here. It's a good way to start out, you know, get the blood flowing. What did Noah say when he finally finished loading the ark? Anyone know? He said, "Now I've heard everything." Get it? Heard, H-E-D-R, heard? He heard it, everything? Yeah. Get it? Thanks for the pity laugh, but perhaps after today's message, you will have really heard everything. So a few years ago, the message I gave was similar to the one I'm giving today. It was called The Real Star, as it was a comparison of Yeshua as a real star, as mentioned in Numbers 24:17, and that's above me. It says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab, and tear down all the sons of Seth." You can go back to that first slide. Keep it there for a while. Now, Balaam was a prophet of the ancient cities of Mesopotamia. He was from the kingdom of Moab. And, of course, Moab lies east of the Dead Sea. Now, the terminology that Balaam uses is very specific to the understanding of his own people. It is a rare occurrence in the Bible to equate God to a star, because that is exactly what pagans like Balaam do. Why is this so significant, you ask? Well, it is a doorway to understanding what world and days Abram and his people came out of. The ancient Mesopotamian religions all worshiped the same deities. They believe their deities came down from heaven and once dwelt with men. And perhaps there's some truth to this, and we're going to go over this today. The ancient Mesopotamian deities taught men the secrets of heaven as well as the darkest forms of sorcery and magic. Once these deities died, they returned to their home and the stars, leaving behind sons and daughters that were half deity and half human. These individuals were called stars as well. They were known as, to the Mesopotamians, as the shining ones, or stars on earth. So when Balaam prophesies about the star coming out of Jacob, the terminology he uses is of an ancient understanding. It was an ancient understanding that there were stars or gods roaming the earth, and that one would soon rise out of Jacob. Thousands of years later, probably 2,300 years later, the Messiah himself, Yeshua, was born. A star rose out of Jacob. And when Yeshua's disciples asked in Matthew 24, and you can go to the next slide. When they asked in Matthew 24, verse 3, Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming? Let me grab my water. What will be the sign of the coming and the end of the age? Awkward drink right there. Now, Yeshua goes into detail about various signs of the coming age. Wars and rumors of wars will become more frequent. Earthquakes will increase in frequency. False messiahs will be everywhere. And the abomination that causes desolation will happen at the temple. Now, as Yeshua is talking about the end, he reverts back to the beginning. Now, you can go to the next slide. As it reads in Matthew 24, verse 36 through 31. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. You can go to, for as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Until that day Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. How interesting is it that Yeshua points to the beginning to figure out the end? Why are there so many end time references to the time of Noah? There are many theologians who think that there is an in-depth meaning to the reference as in the days of Noah. I am clearly one of those people, and today we are going to try to uncover what Yeshua meant when he said, for the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah. We're going to consider historical sources as well as biblical confirmation of the historical events predating the flood, as well as life after the flood, as it reads in Genesis 9, verse 28. Noah lived 350 years after the flood. So did you know that Noah lived 350 years after the flood? Not a lot of people realize that. Noah is quickly becoming one of my favorite historical figures. As Lot was rescued from Saddam, and Yeshua himself was rescued from death, Noah was rescued from the greatest catastrophe in human history. Noah was born within 100 years of Adam. He never got to meet Adam, unfortunately. However, he was the grandson of the great Methuselah. And this is just a lot of people speculate that a lot of myths about wizards and so on and so forth come from this man, Methuselah, tongue twister. As it reads in Genesis chapter 5, 1,000 years passed from the time of Adam to the birth of Noah. Now, Noah lived in a very different world, one that is very hard for people to imagine. I would recommend you watching Lord of the Rings to give you some insight. The world was full of demons, creatures, half-breed animals, and humans. And of course, many people think there is not merit to such a claim. But we're going to explore. Now, if you would, turn to me with Genesis chapter 6, 1 through 5. Now it came about when man began to multiply on the face of the land, the daughters were born to them, and the sons of the gods saw the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of gods came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty heroes of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now let's get some, you can go back to that previous slide. Okay. Now let's get some terminology correct before we proceed. The word Nephilim that you see there, it means literally the fallen. Okay, so this is referring to the fallen angels, okay? And I'm not trying to change scriptures here. I'm going to the source in Hebrew to try to correct a lot of, I guess, mistranslations that are in Bibles. Many of your Bibles say the sons of God with capital letters. I believe this is a mistake. It should be sons lowercase and God's lowercase. The terminology used here was for the people of time to understand. It was common knowledge that there were real angelic beings in the flesh. These angelic beings took human wives for themselves and had giant children. The Bible calls them the heroes of old, the fallen heroes of old, or the mighty heroes of old. The men of the earth had forgotten the one true God and worshipped the fallen angels as God instead. Of course, that's Lucifer, as he took a third of the angels down to the earth when he was cast out of heaven. It's because people thought the fallen angels of the Nephilim to be gods, as well as their offspring. Now you can go to the next slide. Historical Jewish writings such as the Book of Enoch, the Book of Giants, confirm these accounts. They also expand on the fallen angels' horrible sins against mankind, as well as corrupting all of God's creation. Archaeological evidence of giant skeletons have been found and hidden from the public view, as hundreds of newspaper articles show reports of these giant beings being discovered. These skeletons and reports were collected by the Smithsonian Museum. Now, how does this relate to today? As what I want to do is compare, you know, as Yeshua says, it is in the days of Noah. I want to compare then to now. How does it relate today? Can we see the same actions of genetic modification in our world today? Are fallen angels still influencing mankind to manipulate our genes, to create abominations? There is a modern term for such a thing as the so-called research continues to this day. The term for hybrids is called genetic chimeras. The word chimera derives from a Greek mythological monster who had a lion's head, a goat's body, and a serpent's tail. You can go to the next slide. The first known chimeras or hybrids were sheep-goat chimeras. They were created by researchers at the Institute of Animal Sociology in Cambridge, England, by combining sheep embryos with goat embryos. They reported their results in 1984. In 2018, a team of stem cell researchers did the seemingly impossible and successfully combined human cells with the embryo of a chicken, as you can see right here. In 2017, the first successful human and pig embryo was formed here in the middle. In Japan, they continue to experiment with half-human and half-rat embryos to this day. The list goes on as we clearly see the fallen angels of old are beginning to convince man to corrupt their DNA once again, just as in the days of Noah. Now, the entire Bible is a story and the history of genealogies. Satan has been wanting to corrupt the seed of man ever since the prophecy from Genesis 3:15. And it says in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between you, her seed, and your seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. So Satan knew that there would be a Messiah coming from the womb of a woman. So he sought to devour the children of the earth. In Revelation 12, 1 verse 4, it reads, you can go to the next slide. A great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 10 horns, and on his head were 7 diadems, and on his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Now, Satan loves the pursuit of trying to outsmart God, and I honestly think that he's convinced that he can. You know, even though he's been around for so long, he's convinced that he can outsmart God. To no avail, obviously. But the powers at hand seem to think they can escape the coming destruction of our world. Not only was the time of Noah filled with mass amounts of violence, as it reads in Genesis 6:11, the sacrificing of human children to the so-called gods of old reached extreme and gruesome levels. Archaeologists have recovered the many bodies of these poor, lost children. Unfortunately, the pagan worship followed us to this day. Recently in Peru, a grave of 227 sacrificed children was discovered. However, none of this compares to the over 50 million abortions performed here in the United States since 1973. And believe me when I say it still serves the same false gods of old. Just as in the days of Noah, we are giving up our children in the hope of the seed of fallen angels. You can go to the next slide. In Genesis 6:11 it reads, "Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence." As violence was the norm for the time of Noah, violence is once again the norm for our world. The past 100 years saw the kind of death and violence the world of this age had never seen before. The number of dead is estimated to be in the billions. Hitler led his people to slaughter millions, including 6.3 million Jews. In the former Soviet Union, Joseph Stalin murdered an estimated 20 million of his own people. And Mao Zedong proposed a great leap forward, which saw his regime murder 50 million of his own people. It almost makes the Holocaust look little when we know what Mao Zedong did. The list unfortunately goes on. All these men were in the same pursuit of that ancient city of Babel. Everyone knows about the Tower of Babel, right? To bring down heaven on earth through their own means. We see the very ideology of Babel rising in the form of extreme liberalism and leftism as riots suddenly plague our country. What we see is a violent world just as in the days of Noah. Go to the next slide. Now Noah built an ark large enough to house animals, each from their own kind. As Noah knew the destruction of the world was upon him, he obeyed God and built an ark. The world recently started to do the same, interestingly enough. An ambitious project launched in 2015 to collect the genomes of the planet's major plant groups within the next 2 years and put them into a deep freeze. They're also in the process of collecting animal and human DNA. By this time, I think they will have collected all the genome of all life on planet Earth. The project is part of the Global Genome Initiative, which aims to gather and preserve the DNA of all life on Earth in cryo storage facilities. They are doing this to what they call is the sixth great extinction. And of course, I think it's an interesting choice of number that they use there, the sixth great extinction. Instead of Noah gathering all the animals and things of the earth, the forces of darkness prepare to survive the fire that will come upon the world, just as Noah survived the great deluge. In Genesis 7:11, it reads, "Now in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were opened." So we all know that Noah escapes a previous age of fallen angels and hybrid races. God's promises came true. There's much proof of this catastrophic event, but we will save that for another time. The flood of Noah needs to be looked at in a much more catastrophic and grand scale. Many theologians believe the continents themselves ripped apart and smashed together until finally finding their new resting places. The ancient myths of Atlantis, as well as 200 stories from many different civilizations, speak of the exact same flood. A great mass of land that sunk into the water because of the evil done by men and the false gods who ruled over them. Unfortunately, the spirit of those fallen angels lived on, as did their stories, and worshipped. Noah lived to see more horrible days as the first world order of new age of man arose after the flood. You can go to the next slide. Now Nimrod, who knows about Nimrod? Anyone? It's not a popular historical figure, but Nimrod, who is known as the Sargon of Akkad, as well as Gilgamesh, conquered the world under his rule and united the cities of Mesopotamia through the submission of violence. Nimrod was the grandson of Ham, who sinned against his father Noah. Ham was also the father of Mitzrayim, who founded Egypt. So we can clearly see the curse of sin follow down the generations. Genesis 10, 8 through 11, it reads, "Now Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became a hero on earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, a hunting hero before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar." Now we're going to do another little deep study of this passage, and we're going to find out a little more about Nimrod here. The word for hero in Hebrew is Gibor. It should be right above me, right? God is called El Gibor. Some of, in Hebrew, a lot of you have heard that, right? El Gibor, or the Mighty One, better translated as the ultimate hero. The word Gibor is used to describe only God and God-like beings. In Hebrew, Nimrod is called Gibor Tzayid, or the hunting hero. The consistency of using the word Gibor or hero throughout the Bible when referring to God-like beings points to the fact that Nimrod possessed some of these features of the fallen gods from the past age. In tales and in folklore, Nimrod is painted as the first giant man of this age. The ancient Jewish writers Philo of Alexandria and Flavius Josephus suggested Nimrod was a giant who opposed God and the tyrant behind the construction of the Tower of Babel. The tomb of Nimrod was discovered in 2003. Interesting, right? Just like in the days of Noah, he's back. I'm just kidding. He's not back, but they did discover his tomb as well as all his treasures, which is very interesting. As Nimrod conquered the cities of the Fertile Crescent, he instituted the first united worship of the fallen angels from the previous age. He named them the Anunnaki, which means those of royal blood, or the great gods. Of course, in honor of the fallen angels of the previous age. The rest of his life, he pursued the means of reaching heaven itself. You can go to the next slide. Now, this pantheon of gods or fallen angels was passed on to every civilization known to man. And this is why there's so many similarities between all the pantheons in the world. They have a common beginning. From ancient Mesopotamia, that is the home of the Tower of Babel, to Babylon, to Egypt, to Persia, to Macedonia, to Rome, to Mesoamerica, to ancient aliens. Anyone watch Ancient Aliens? No? Same thing. To every region of the world. And of course, the idea of praying to multiple gods was also passed on to the Catholic Church. This follows along with the vision of Nebuchadnezzar as well. As you can see, the statue here, that's the vision Nebuchadnezzar had. If you remember, the head of gold was Babylon, the breast of silver was Persia, the thighs of brass was Macedonia or Greece, and the legs of iron was Rome. And the feet of iron and clay are a representation of the scattered kingdoms of Rome and the half-pagan, half-Christian religion that is the Roman Catholic Church. These fallen angels are the origin of all pagan and occult worship in this world. That's some pretty deep knowledge. You know, someone came up to me once and they were like, I read that King Solomon was the origin of all occult in the world. I was like, what? I was like, no. We too entertain these so-called fallen gods when we do not concern ourselves with what we take in through our eyes. Is it surprising that the last Avengers movie broke the record for the most money ever made? I think it was $2.6 billion, right? You have Thor, who is part of the Norse pantheon of gods, who is cast out of heaven from his father's presence like a bolt of lightning. Who does that remind you of? Satan. Who else is cast out of heaven like a bolt of lightning? That's Satan. You have the Black Panther, who gets his power from Bast, the female Egyptian cat goddess. You have Iron Man as Ares, the god of war, from the Greek pantheon of gods. Just like in the days of Noah, these heroes of old find themselves as the most popular entities in the world yet. That's why, you know, last week I had that shirt on that said, what would Jesus watch, you know? Genesis 11, 1 through 9, it says, now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came to pass as they journeyed east, they found, you can go back to the last slide, there you go. They found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build a city for ourselves and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we'll be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have the same language. And what they begin to do, and what they begun to do, and now nothing which they purpose will be impossible for them. That's very important to remember. Nothing which they purpose will be impossible for them. Now, the most important word in this passage is the word Shinar, as I have it up there, the land of Shinar. Shinar means the shining ones or the stars. This was the region of the world, the region of Shinar. If we remember earlier, the word star is always associated with godlike beings. Genesis tells us that they settled or gathered in the land of Shinar, or the land of the godlike being. With this information, we can assume that the fallen angels had already found a way to infect mankind with their seed. Many people ask, how was Stonehenge built? What about the pyramids? What about Machu Picchu? Well, this verse is clearly a clue. Perhaps the construction workers were that of giant men. And also, perhaps, you know, when you hear in the book of Joshua, it says there were giants in the land. That term suddenly becomes actual, not metaphorical to you, because it was an actuality. There were true giants in the land. Remember Joshua and David and Goliath. Goliath is one of them as well. And I'm pretty sure it says in the Bible that one of Goliath's brothers had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. Perhaps now I read that part. People often criticize the Israelites' campaign for the slaughter of the people of Canaan. And I've heard this a lot. You know, why did God command the Israelites to go slaughter all the people in the land of Canaan? He's a God of war, you know, this and this and that. It is only because of their lack of knowledge of giant half-human and half-demon men that ruled the region of Canaan and the earth at the time. You can go to slide 15 or the next one. Now, Nimrod conquered the world at the time and united the world under the banner of the worship of the Anunnaki, or the fallen angels. He enslaved the world into a beast system, one that would build a tower to reach the heavens. God assures us that it is possible, as it reads in Genesis 11, verse 6. Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Now back then, language was the barrier. Now consider this, that language is no longer the barrier. It's no longer a barrier. Any sort of language, the language of mathematics, the language between peoples. We have machines that will not only interpret languages in real time, but also mathematics. What was truly impossible for the men at the Tower of Babel was to reach the heaven of the one true God. What was possible for these men was to open a gateway into their own heaven. That is Sheol, where the demons reside. In their own words, this is what ziggurats, pyramids, and the Tower of Babel was used for. The word Babel in Hebrew means confusion. In ancient Sumerian, Babel means gateway to heaven. And of course, maybe we'll reconsider the next time we put on that song, Stairway to Heaven, because they're singing about the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel story is... I'm sorry, let me just get a drink of water real quick, find my spot. Tower of Babel story in the Bible is a rebuke against a united world order. As borders collapsed, the world became one. Clearly, God loves the nations for who they are and what they are. Now, how is this manifesting as in the days of Noah? Is there a pursuit to reach the heavens here on earth? Or is there a pursuit to unite the world as one? Well, on October 24th in 1945, the United Nations was founded. Since then, the majority of their resolutions have been against the state of Israel, standing at 45.9%. The world is attempting to unite under one banner. Not only is the world starting to unite under one banner, the political push for open borders is a push for the world to unite as they once did in the plains of Shinar. You know, people say don't get political. You know, don't talk about politics. Listen, you can't separate the spiritual from the political. You can't separate the physical from the spiritual. It's intertwined. You know, it is one. Now, the Tower of Babel was known as a gateway or a stairway to heaven. Is it possible that we could be attempting to reach heaven once again? Well, let's look into this. The European Organization for Nuclear Research, known as CERN, is a European research organization that operates the largest particle physics laboratory in the world. They have built the largest machine in the world that has ever been built. I think it's about 14 miles long. It's known as the Large Hadron Collider. The Large Collider sends atoms racing at each other at almost the speed of light. Once the atoms crash together, they briefly separate the very fabric of time and space, so scientists can look and observe what is behind the very fabric of our reality. It is also very interesting, the choice of number they use on their logo, as you can see here, the variation of 666. Sergio Bertolucci, who is the Director for Research and Scientific Computing at CERN, said, "Out of this door might something come, or we might send something through it." This was the hope of the men at the Tower of Babel, that the fallen angels who died before the flood and because of the flood would return through the gateway. Now God stopped the construction of the Tower of Babel. The men on earth separated and scattered. The days of Noah came to a close as Abram fled the ancient cities of Mesopotamia and sought a new home in the land of Canaan, near the city of Salem, which eventually became known as Jerusalem. Now, in closing this message, my friends, we can clearly see the parallels between the days of Noah and our current day at hand. It is so important to get right with God, to hear His voice even daily, to fight this battle in the Spirit through prayer and fasting. The coming of Yeshua is soon, and all signs point to His soon coming. I hope you've all enjoyed this message and learned a little bit more about the days of Noah. I hope this message served as a warning to how truly close we are to Yeshua's coming. And you can go to the next slide. Now, I want to end this message with how we began this message. I had Xander over here read this at the beginning of the message. And this pretty much carried the theme for everything we did. And this is from 2 Peter 3, 3 through 9. And this is something everyone needs to highlight, open your Bibles, write down, read this a lot. 2 Peter 3, 3 through 9. And it says, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of this coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation.' For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by His word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Amen. And I'm going to close this in prayer, and Bob, you could start heading for Dad with the rock benediction. If you bow your heads. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the youth, the young adults today, and all the work that they did. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Bless them, Lord. And I pray that you would enlighten us, Lord, with what you wanted us to know today, Lord. You would touch the hearts of those who were here to hear from your word, Father. I pray that if there's anyone out there, Lord, that there's anyone out there who hasn't accepted you into their heart, Lord, that they would ask you now. Because we see that the days of Noah are here. They're not in the future. They are here. We are living in them. I pray that you would enlighten us, Lord. Keep us from deception, Lord, and the great deception that is coming, Father. In Yeshua's name, we pray. Amen.